Blog Talk Radio.
Find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, sponsored by Night Guard Solar, your guaranteed solar power protection against nighttime predators. Visit them online at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author Pat Foreman. Today is Tuesday, May 25th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly newsletter, The Chicken Scratch. You get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear like hats, t-shirts, keychains, tote bags, and mouse pads. And of course, right now, you can sign up, just a few days left, and enter the MyPetChicken.com Chicken Coop Contest. Will be giving that coop away this coming Monday, May 31st, which I know is Memorial Day, but we'll still be broadcasting live, and we're giving that coop away. What a great Memorial Day surprise for somebody. So you can enter to win that coop, one entry per person over the age of 18, and we'll be drawing that name out of the big pickle barrel here coming Monday. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I do invite you to join the live chicken chats going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about Backyard Poultry and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. While you're there at Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list. Hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, sponsored by Night Guard Solar.
There will always be something that will love your chickens more than you. That's why I use Night Guard Solar to protect my flock. Night Guard Solar has successfully been manufacturing and selling Night Guard Solar lights for over 12 years and offers a one-year warranty and complete money-back guarantee. No waiting. Night Guard Solar will be shipped within 48 hours of your order. Order your Night Guard Solar lights today at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at EggCartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Mention the coupon code WHISPER and get 10% off your entire order. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It's another great episode today. I want to thank you very much for joining us in the chat room. Everybody loves the chat. Lots of new listeners, lots of new people in the chat room as we broadcast live across the country. It's now time to introduce my wonderful special co-host, author, poultry advocate, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Whisper, good to be on the show today. It's going to be a really interesting show with Margie Stenzel. She's got such a story to tell that it's just going to send people spinning. So I'm looking forward to that. I wanted to let you know I'm on the road. I'm driving into the pharmacy. Got to pay those bills, so I'm playing pharmacist this afternoon. So there's that one spot where I lose connection, but I'll call back in. Yeah, but
that sounds good, and I'll bring you back live when you do.
Oh, thank you. So I will miss the chat room, though. Those little chat room chicken ears are such a hoot. It's always makes me chortle and chuckle all the way through the show, some of those comments. But anyway, so here we are. It is Tuesday already. And just to let you know, too, tomorrow I'm driving to Indiana. So I'll call in transit, and I don't think there'll be a problem. I don't think. We'll see. So, okay, a little bit of road time coming up for these last couple weeks, but then it ought to die down quite a bit. Yeah. So, how are you doing today, Whisper?
We'll try it tomorrow and see how it goes. If we have you, great. Which we would love to. If not, then that's just that's the way the cookie crumbles, we used to say back in elementary school. So, we will definitely welcome you with open arms tomorrow, Pat. Just give us a call and we'll bring you on. What was I going to say about tomorrow? Oh, yes, tomorrow. If you don't follow us on Facebook, then you're missing out. I encourage you to do so. Go to Facebook.com, search for The Chicken Whisperer. Tons and tons of great information, all kinds of chickens in the news, announcements, you name it, questions answered, the whole nine yards. So go and follow us on Facebook. Just go to Facebook.com, search for The Chicken Whisperer. But tomorrow, big special announcement, we have a wonderful special guest. We are bringing back, live on the radio show, the author of Gardening Nude, Shauna Coronado. Yes, so it's not going to be a Nude Friday like we had last time when we had her on and welcomed her. What a great show that was. But it will be Wednesday. Shauna will be joining us, which is awesome. Everybody loves Shauna. And a great author, great advocate to homesteading. It's just absolutely wonderful. And tomorrow's subject is we're going to be talking all about edible landscapes, which is Awesome. Everybody loves that. And then we're also going to be talking about edible landscapes and food for the hungry and tying that all in together. So, yes, tomorrow is going to be really, really looking forward to tomorrow's show, welcoming back the author of Gardening Nude, Shauna Coronado. So that's tomorrow's show. And then Thursday, Richard Freudenberger is going to be our guest again on Thursday. And then we'll have another great fun Friday, as always, this coming Friday. So we're looking forward to that. So we got a great week lined up right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. As I go down here at our Facebook page, some of the chickens in the news that we have posted, a great, wonderful video, which you got to love. It's called, the title, let's see where it comes from, KMBC.com out of Kansas City. And the title of it was "Woman Breeds Beauty Pageant Chickens," and so and of course they titled it that. What she does, she just goes around to the poultry shows all over the Midwest and maybe even all over the country, and goes to these poultry shows. And they you know, in the video they stress a couple of times she's doing this just like people show their dogs. She's showing their chickens, but of course the title, Beauty. Woman Breeds Beauty Pageant Chickens. And so she talks about it. It actually shows her filing their nails with a little emery board, giving them a little bath in a 5-gallon bucket, all kinds of things. So it's a really fun video to watch. And if you're not into the show scene, if you will, then it is even more interesting to watch about how she prepares her chickens and whatnot. And of course, you know, I can just see these folks going, that lady's lost her mind. She is a physician. She's an MD. And so she has her own medical practice. Yeah, so, I mean, it's like, you know, these people are like, oh, she's fallen off her rocker. So, but, hey, this is, you know, at the very end, they says she's very interested in the DNA of these the chickens that she has, where they come from, the history, and why not, because she, you know, she has her own lab in her office every day where she works as a medical doctor. And so it's just a really good video. I encourage people to go click on that and watch it and leave your comments there on our Facebook page. So that was a fun and pleasant one there. And then let's see, what else did I post? Of course, this one, which we'll talk about here. And, of course, this is something Margie can, of course, use next time she goes to the courthouse. But I got this from a long-time wonderful fan and avid listener of the show, Allison. And she had found it. I think we asked where she found it. She got it from Twitter. She was following, I think it's called Poultry Tribune on Twitter. I guess it's at Poultry Tribune. So you can follow them on Twitter as well. I think they initially posted this. Allison picked it up. I got it from her. But it appears to be an old ad, and I don't have the date on it. It looks like maybe from the, let's just say, around the 40s era. And at the very top, it states, if you haven't seen it again, one more reason to go to our Facebook page and join up. Uncle Sam expects you to keep hens and raise chickens. That's the title. Uncle Sam expects you to keep hens and raise chickens. It has a picture of a beautiful backyard, a little A-frame coop, a couple of little kids taking care of some hens. And then it says, two hens in the backyard for each person in the house will keep a family in fresh eggs. Says, even the smallest backyard has room for a flock large enough to supply the house with eggs. The cost of maintaining such a flock is small. Table and kitchen waste provide much of the feed for hens. They require little attention, only a few minutes a day. An interested child old enough to take a little responsibility can care for a few fowls as well as a grown person. Every backyard in this is coming from the United States Department of Agriculture, the U.S. government, Uncle Sam here. Every backyard in the United States should contribute its share to a bumper crop of poultry and eggs in 1918. Okay, here it says 1918, so even earlier than that. It says, and of course everybody loves this one. In a time of peace, a profitable recreation. In time of war, a patriotic duty. So there you go. It's a patriotic duty to keep two hens in your backyard for every family member in your household. Uncle Sam says it so you got to believe it, right?
That is fabulous. in 1918. Oh my gosh, that's 102 years ago. No, it's 92 years ago. 92 years ago. Well, I think we ought to post that on all these poultry pages all across the U.S. I mean, what's past is prologue, which is what's written on the Department of Archives. Go ahead.
Yeah, this thing has gone almost viral because everybody loved it, all the followers and fans, and of course everybody posted it, and so I found it throughout searches. So yeah, this thing went viral, which is awesome because it's great, and so I would love to be able to find who owns this, if anybody owns it anymore from 1918, maybe still the State Department of Ag, and maybe with my connection now with the USDA, I can get some rights to this and make copies, make it a big poster, and then we can whatever it costs to make the poster, sell it at cost, or raise a little money for a fundraiser or something, and get this into an official poster, because this is absolutely awesome. And
that is awesome. Well, I think because it's a government, there's some flashing lights behind me, but it's not for me.
Better pull over.
I know. Oh, no. But I think because it was done with government money that it's public domain, so I don't think you need to get the rights for it. You can just go ahead and plus, I think there's a 50-year copyright on things that were copyrighted, so I would guess it's public domain now.
That would be great.
That's do it. I think that's a wonderful thing. We just ought to put it on every city that's thinking about against chickens. We'll just plaster them with emails and this wallpaper with your government wants you to keep chickens.
Absolutely.
See, they knew a lot back then.
Oh yeah, they did. Absolutely. So, but no, that's great, and so you can see that on our Facebook page as well if you haven't already.
Excellent.
Excellent is right. Okay, let's see what we got here. Go back here to our Facebook page. All righty, so that's about it. Lots of great stuff there, so please join us on our Facebook page. I'm going to go ahead, Pat, and go to the switchboard and get ready with our wonderful special guest today. Let me go ahead and bring... I can push the right button here. There we go. Perfect. All righty. Our special guest today, folks, is Margie Stansel. And Pat, you and you have been there, so I'm just going to kind of let you kind of run this with Margie and kind of start where y'all want to start. Tell us what you want to tell us all about this crazy kind of long and drawn-out process of trying to get Margie from the city to just leave her alone from keeping these pet chickens in her backyard, and that seems to come finally around to the big debate. Are chickens pets or are they livestock? And so I think that's what y'all were trying to deal with in the last court case. Now, you got to think, all these tax dollars that little town is wasting by doing this, the attorneys, the time, the judge, the publicity, the paperwork, all these people's tax dollars going to waste because of a few pet chickens. It's absolutely unreal. So, Pat, first, Margie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Andy. Thanks.
Hey, Margie. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
And is Tyler there as well?
He is. Scott ran out and bought another phone for us just so Tyler could join in.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tyler's their son, and it's really his love of chickens, of course, Margie's as well, that has kind of brought all this amazing story to bear. And the thing is, Whisper, is this story keeps getting more clandestine because now we have some perjury issues. We have it's almost a civil liberties case because I'll let Margie talk about it, but when they try to talk now about chickens with the council members, they're saying they don't want to talk about it. So what are they there for but to talk about the concerns of their residents? So, Margie, why don't you just go ahead and start with a background? I mean, we first started tracking your case, I think, back in 2009. Yeah, and I remember that then the first court case actually in court was in January, I think it was, and I went up to the Kensington Courthouse to help you out with that. But just give our listeners a briefing from the beginning. How did all this begin?
Okay, well, we got our chicks back in spring 2009, and April 1st they arrived, and we got all breeds that would be suitable as pets. We ordered 13, and one of them ended up being a rooster, which we discovered towards the middle of the summer, a couple months after, And this, even though we kept him covered till 10 a.m., it made a couple of the neighbors, just a few. Now, most people really enjoyed the sound of him, especially since he wasn't waking anybody up. But a realtor in particular who lived three houses away across the street didn't like him and started to cause some trouble, you know, complain to the town. And then we decided that, you know, well, then we got a call from Animal Control, and she explained that we were within our rights having chickens, and not only were we within our rights, but that the rooster was not even illegal. But we decided to do the right thing and find a home for him. So we adopted him out in September. But this took a couple weeks, probably, you know, 3 or 4 weeks to find a good home for him. And it made it made this lady so mad that he wasn't illegal that she decided to, you know, I guess they started looking for other things. And
this is the realtor lady that was so mad?
Right. That's correct.
Okay.
And
the realtor neighbor.
Then next thing we knew, we started getting visits from the county DPS, Department of Permitting Services, and Environmental Protection about our compost pile. So they all they said that they had to come out because they got a complaint from the town, and this was very puzzling because we had heard nothing from our town office about this, and you know, before we knew it, we were just—it just seemed like we were being attacked. You know, all these different issues. I mean, they were looking at a woodshed and a compost pile and the location of our coop, and you know, just the list went on and on. And I just thought, my goodness, you know what?
Let me say something here, Margie. I just want to testify, if you will, that I've seen your coop, and it's one of the nicest coops I think I've ever seen. It's clean. It's well designed. It fits over a garden bed, so they can move it down this terrace on any of three different garden beds. And there's absolutely no reason why this is any kind of an eyesore. And certainly, there were no smells or whatever. So, putting that in context, it's not an issue of aesthetics at all. So there,
no,
I just had to say that. So go ahead, Margie.
And it's not even visible from this person's house. She can't even see it. So they had to come onto our property or behind our property to actually see where it was located and then determine that, oh, well, it's too close to that neighbor's house who gave us permission to put it there. He has an elderly mother that comes to visit, and she loves to sit at the window and watch our chickens. So, you know, we got approval from our next-door neighbors before putting the coop up. And, you know, so why should this person who is three or four houses away that can't even see it or hear the chickens or smell them or anything else be bothered by it? So anyway, after finding out that the town was involved, I called them and I said, why didn't the town come to us if there was an issue? Because once it's sent to the county, they can't backtrack. They can't, you know, it's in the county's hands, so now the county is going to deal with us. And this upset us. This really upset us because we are good residents, and we had, you know, all these neighbors that were behind us and supported us, wrote letters for us. And they pay attention to the one or two people that are cranky and just have nothing better to do than complain.
Yeah, and you officially live within the Kensington city limits, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so it's really, you're within the city limits, but they turn it over to the county.
That's
because
correct.
Within the city, you're legal except for the setback issue, even
right.
Roosters.
Right, so they follow the county setback. They have to follow all of that. But there is no ordinance against chickens, and so anyway, after examining the code and really just looking into it ourselves, you know, I saw the clause, the part about household pets, and I thought, well, you know, these are clearly our pets. We're not selling our eggs. We're not butchering our birds. We're not, you know, doing anything to profit from them. So, you know, in every sense, I mean, they are our pets. There's no doubt about it. We name them. We care for them. We love them. So, you know, it's very clear. And the code says right in it that if they are pets, that these 100-foot setbacks don't apply.
That's right. And just a little bit fast forward, that's kind of what it's distilled down to in this case, is whether they're pets or livestock.
That's correct.
So go ahead.
Yeah, so we really stood our ground on that and said, you know, we're not doing anything wrong, and we're law-abiding citizens. We're not going to just go out and summer nose at the authority and decide to do something wrong. We don't just go around breaking the law for the fun of it. We looked into the law. We spoke to our neighbors. We did everything that we could do, and we gave up our rooster, who was my son's pet, even though he was legal. So, and we tried very hard to please these neighbors, even the ones who were cranky. So, I just feel as though we've been over backwards. And we've taken the high road, and you know, in every situation, even with the town, and now, you know, we're getting fed up because it's dragged on so long, and people are lying. Even our own mayor is spreading gossip and telling people who wrote letters of support for us that we're doing something illegal and that they shouldn't support us. So.
Yeah. Tell us about what your mayor is doing. His name is Pete Fosselman.
Fosselman? Mm-hmm.
Say it again.
Fosselman.
So he's the mayor of Kensington, mm-hmm. and he's against poultry. So how is he manipulating the situation?
He's telling everybody that he tried to help us, that he's not against chickens, that, you know, this isn't something that he really has an opinion on one way or the other. However, when we request, I got tired of this back and forth between the county and the town trying to figure out who reported us and why. I requested public records. I went to DPS and I got the records that showed very specifically that the town did report us. And then when I took that back to the town, they still denied it. So it was still this back and forth sort of thing, and it has been all along. And he's just good about twisting his words and making it look like he's tried to help us when in actually, you know, he's just actually done things to hurt our case. And
which are what? Mainly just not supporting you, or just behind the back saying, we don't want chickens in Kensington, so you go, county, kind of thing? Or
just his communication with DPS and what we found through requesting the public records, emails and that sort of thing, that clearly showed that he was behind this, and he just kept denying it. And so I don't want to say any more than that right now on that issue, just because, you know,
it's not resolved, so yeah.
No, and the county, DPS and Environmental Protection both told me that they had to pursue this because it came from the town, and it came from, you know, it was obvious that it came from somebody with enough power to send, you know, all these county people out in a week's time. I mean, you know, that's not just a resident's complaint. That had to come
right.
from somebody who had some power. So
right. But I want to say one of the reasons this was as extended on so long is that when the Stancils went to court in January, the judge was late. I could see he came in a little flustered that the traffic was bad, not in a very good mood. But it ended up that he deferred this until May. So that was, I think, a stroke of good luck not to have him decide, because they heard someone heard on the way out. What did they hear, Margie? Refresh my memory. He was saying something like, chickens, give me a break, or it's like, oh, gosh, I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah, the judge made snide comments about, why do you need all these witnesses here? What, just to say that you have chickens? I mean, and he was pretty much mocking us right there in the courtroom, and also made snide comments about swine flu and bird flu, and because Pat had her Oprah Winfrey there, and you know, he was just making jokes about it, chicken in the courtroom and that sort of thing. So
yeah. Meanwhile, Oprah Winfrey was having a blast with the guards there in the front. I mean, they were petting her, and the kids were coming up to pet her, and we had a photo opportunity in front of the state seal, and it was great fun.
Yeah. So all of this, I mean, this has caused our family just a lot of unnecessary stress and, you know, financial stress. And now with the negative, this latest newsletter that went out in the town that quotes what I said at a meeting, but actually does not really quote the important facts. You know, it just says what the mayor and the council wanted it to say. And it's just like a reporter who just reports what they want heard. You know, the truth has not come out yet to our town and the residents of the town, but it will. It will. It definitely will. Just it's going to take some time. We have to figure out the best way to go about that. Maybe, even if it comes down to writing our own article and publishing our own little newsletter to pass out to the town. And then go forward with a positive campaign for chickens. And we've already invited neighborhood kids over to collect eggs, and they all love it. You know, they think it's great. And so many of our neighbors and friends in the, you know, just love it. They think it's a great idea. So I don't think that they're going to win. I really don't. It's just hard for us to get through this part of the battle. So,
is that the case at all?
What's that?
Has there been any kind of media, any kind of articles about this case in the paper, in the local paper, regional paper?
Not yet. No. We wanted to get past this last court date, and I think it's probably time to do that. So I guess I'll move on to what happened in court just last week, Tuesday. Is that okay? Did I?
Please, go ahead.
Okay. We all showed up. I mentioned Gaithersburg. Pat, have you said anything about that on the show yet? What happened in Gaithersburg? Is Pat still there?
We may have lost Pat. She might have gone in that dead zone. So let me see if she's called back in. Not yet. So she'll call back in just a second. She's on the road, like you heard, and she goes through a dead zone on her way to the pharmacy. But I don't think she's mentioned anything about it.
Back in March, the city of Gaithersburg, which is also in Montgomery County, had a similar situation where one resident complained about another resident's chickens and escalated to the point that the city was amending their code. They already had something in place that allowed six hens within 30 feet, and this neighbor complained, and you know, the city was going to ban chickens altogether. So when I heard about that, I gathered all the troops, and we all went out to this hearing, and did a pretty good job, just sort of telling them that, you know, chickens are great pets and the benefits of chickens and that the fears of disease and that sort of thing were just and the myth about it lowering real estate value and all that stuff was just ridiculous. So they listened and they voted unanimously to keep their code as is and keep chickens in Gaithersburg. And Gaithersburg is the home to our agricultural fair in Montgomery County. So that was a big win. Mm-hmm. That was really important, I think. And
absolutely. Good for you for getting the troops all together, heading up there, supporting those folks about backyard poultry. You know it helps, without a doubt, when you've got a courtroom full of people all wearing the same color shirts and holding signs, bringing their chickens, because it's more times than not, and it's the typical. It's just amazing. We had that here in Johns Creek, one of the Johns Creek, I don't even know his position here, told one of my neighbors, says, well, all the council members ran unopposed, so I guess everybody's happy with them and what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So that kind of mentality. So it was great for you to show up and support her and let them know that, hey, you know, this is something that you need to consider.
Mm-hmm. And that the woman, when she saw us walk in with our, she called it a posse. I brought in all the Poultry Club kids with their yellow T-shirts and everything. She was so happy because she didn't know if we were there. At first she was wondering, are these people here against chickens or for chickens? So afterwards she was almost in tears. She was so happy that we were there to support her, and she thanked us and wants to join our poultry club now, so with her kids. And she showed up last week in court and stayed as long as she possibly could. And so what happened was we were supposed to show up last week, May 18th, at 8:30, which we did. Pat came up from Virginia, drove 4 hours, and we were all there on time once again, and they made us wait through lunch and said, well, you know, this is dragging on longer than we thought. You'll have to come back after lunch. So we came back at 1:30, and we had probably 10 people there, people that I've met with chickens in Silver Spring and Four Corners and just, you know, little towns around us. And you know, that's probably the most positive thing about all this is the great people I've met, you and Pat,
mm-hmm.
you know, all these other people. It's just been, the support has just been amazing. And so something good does come out of something bad. It usually does. So there's a lot of positive stuff going on, but... anyway, we went back at 1:30 and we sat and waited again and waited and waited, and we finally, I think they finally heard us or heard our case around 2:30. So it was, you know, that just exhausting day and trying to wear us down. And you know, the only argument that the county had was that you know, they asked my husband, did you get these chickens for eggs? And my husband said, no, we got them, you know, for pets. And he said, well, do you buy eggs at the grocery store? And my husband said, yes. And he said, I'm sorry, he said, did you used to buy eggs at the grocery store? My husband said, yes. And the county attorney said, well, do you buy eggs now? And my husband said, no. And so he was trying to imply that we were saving money by having these chickens, and which is really funny because with you know, 12 chickens, and we're not selling our eggs, and we're buying organic feed, and you know, we're pampering them, and they're, you know, with everything that we've been through, to suggest that we were actually saving money with our pet chickens, it was laughable, and. Are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here. Pat's back as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, am I live, Andy?
You are?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I just wanted to say that the fact that they are, these are truly pampered chickens. I mean, I thought I treated my chickens well, but I don't even come close to the way the Stancils take care of theirs. They're about the best pampered pets I've ever seen. And in spite of not really saving money on eggs, I got to say the Stancils have spent a small fortune on lawyer fees, and it's that dedication and that determination and just, I think, doing what's right. But it has been one of the hardest things I think the family's been through. Is that about right, Margie? That
yeah.
That it's taken its toll on your family. Maybe we can get Tyler to talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because, you know, it was supposed to be a fun and educational project for his junior year of high school. He's wanted pet chickens since he was 3 or 4. We finally decided to do it after he joined the poultry club, and something that was supposed to be just a really fun experience has, you know, just really drained us, and it's unfortunate. I mean, we still enjoy our chickens, but there's been this cloud hanging over, you know, that is just really unfortunate. And all we've been doing, all we've wanted to do was something that we had a right to do. You know, this is our right as Americans. It's our right to have these as our pets if we want. We aren't breaking any laws. And we are doing a good thing, a positive thing. It's not something that should be, you know, we were on the criminal docket, for goodness sakes. I mean, criminals for having pet chickens.
Yeah, it's pretty absurd when you get the whole thing. Why don't you put Tyler on here? Let's hear from him a little bit about what he thinks about the whole situation.
Hey, Tyler.
Hey, Pat.
Hey, Tyler. Good to hear you again. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Good, good. I want to tell our listening audience, too, that Tyler is one of the most amazing. You're a teenager now, right?
Yeah, 17.
17, and he makes guitars. His dad has a music store and studio and has been a master guitar repairer and maker himself. But Tyler showed me two of his guitars that he's making, and they're absolutely beautiful. The finish on them is just as smooth and shiny, and you're starting your own band now. Is that right, Tyler?
Yeah, it's been a lot of work doing practices and everything, but it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and do you have a name for it yet?
Not yet. We're still discussing that.
Is it going to have anything to do with poultry?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I know we'll have a song. We'll have a song about all this.
Yeah, it's the cock-a-doodle doers. You know, they can do no matter what. So, well, Tyler, tell us a little bit about how you're feeling about this and your experience with it. And I'm not sure wherever you want to start because it's been such a long trudgery, but why don't you just jump in?
Oh, yeah. Man, whoever knew that just some pet chickens would create such a big stink. I wanted them since I was really little, and I guess we never thought that we could have them, but once we looked into it and found that we could have them, I was like, why don't we do it? And I've had a lot of fun with them, raising them, and the rooster, actually Danzig, the one that we had to give up, unfortunately was my favorite, so it's been pretty hard having to deal with giving him up and just not being able to see him. And, I mean, it's just I'm homeschooled, so just the past, like, 8 months, just having to hear all the conversations on the phone hours a day about the chickens and the court cases and everything, and just the politics of the town, it's just been pretty distracting from my school life, and just being able to get all my homework done.
Oh, my. So, and you're homeschooled, right?
Yeah.
So
I'm a junior, and I'm behind in my math and my history, so it's been pretty rough.
Oh, gosh. And then now, are you going to bring Danzig back if once this case is resolved in your favor and it is possible to have chickens?
Well, unfortunately, the animal sanctuary that we gave him up to, I wanted to bring him some treats around Christmas, just as a little Christmas present to say hi to him. I visited him several times. And they informed me that he passed away. That was pretty hard to take after having to give him up. And people have said before that they actually, which I totally believe this, is that the chickens can attach to their owners just like any other pet, like a cat or a dog. And, I mean, I would go out every morning and greet him, and he would do this little rooster dance for me, and then he would like stare at me with one eye. He'd look like underneath his big white crest, and he'd just look at me, and then I'd do like a little dance back, and then he would just like keenly watch me, and then he would do his little dance. So that was a routine that we did every morning, and then I'd feed him some sunflower seeds, and he would come when he's called and everything. So he knew his name. So, I mean, it was definitely, there's definitely connection between the chickens and our family.
Oh, that is so sweet. He was a Polish,
yes.
Right? I saw a picture of him, and he was a really good-looking guy.
Yes.
My goodness, he's probably right now one of the most famous chickens in America, being on the talk show here today. But,
yeah, he won grand champion at the 4-H, or at the agricultural fair.
That's right.
Club. So that was pretty exciting.
Dang. Well, so how do you think this is going to go, Tyler?
I really don't know. I hope that it just that we'll be able to resolve it soon, and that they just let us keep the chickens and leave us alone, so I can I can actually enjoy them. Because unfortunately, all this talk about chickens and everything is just. It's almost made me say, let's please not talk about chickens. But I hate to have to say that, because they're what I wanted as a pet over a dog. And it's just unfortunate that this has gotten to be such a big deal that I don't even want to talk about them anymore. It's not necessarily the chickens themselves or their fault. It's just the whole circumstance.
Yeah, the issue has drug out quite a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, gosh, thank you for sharing your story. That's really heartfelt. I mean, that's I know I've had chickens, and they do come when I call them. I'm not sure they know their names, but I think they might. But I never really did a duet, a dance with my chicken. So that's a wonderful first. You don't by chance have a video of it, do you?
Unfortunately, no. He is weird, because he would actually, I would say, hey, Mom, come out here and check this out. And if she came in and he saw her, then he wouldn't really do it. It was just kind of like a kind of brothers kind of thing that we would do. It's just like
it's a guy thing, huh?
You and me kind of.
Aww.
He didn't want to show it to anybody else.
We do have a video of him coming when he was called, though. I mean, running, when it went, just perking up when he heard his name and running right towards us. So we have that on video. He used to sit at the back door and crow for us to come out, and he's really, really funny.
He'd call you. He'd say, come out and play, right? Right,
yeah.
There at the back door.
That's right.
Oh, that
hey,
is
Hey, Tyler,
so
I, want, I want you to do something for me real quick, Tyler. Just real quick, just say... Say the name of the town that you actually live in right now, or actually do me a favor. Say the mayor's name for me, if you would. Just say the mayor's name.
Peter Fosselman.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
That's always funny. I've heard that thing, I don't know how many times, but it's always funny. Oh, dear.
I love it. So, yeah. Anyway, Pat, what do you think? Now, the judge didn't make up her mind. See, we're still hanging here, Andy. She still has not made up. Pat seems to think that she, when she saw the pictures of Tyler with the chickens and everything, that she was softened, that she, and a lot of other people sitting in the courtroom, some supporters thought the same thing, that she, you know, noticed that, okay, these are pets, and thought that she really was thinking about this, and the fact that she didn't rule against us right away, that she was going to go and revisit the code and kind of look at the part about pets and see what they meant when they put that in there, it just gives us a little bit of hope that
yeah,
in our favor.
Well, I got to tell you, I was so impressed with this judge. It's Judge Patricia Mitchell, and she the way she handled the cases, there were quite a few parole violations, and she was really compassionate. I mean, she would say what happened. She'd listen to it. She'd say, "Well, you got to get help. Here's the directions how to get free help or assistance from the county. Do you have a way out there?" She was one of the nicest judges I think I've ever listened to, and yet she stayed focused and right on the scene. There was a guy there that had some property that was kind of a mess and hadn't done anything to clean it up, even though he was under order. And so she kept his feet to the fire in a very nice way. But I think when I saw her face looking at the pictures of you with the Stanzels with their chickens, and I mean, she was smiling a little bit. She's certainly nothing like that first male judge. I don't know his name, but he was clearly not in a good mood and clearly did not want to hear about chickens. So I think it's a blessing it was delayed. And I think we were there, like Margie said, all day. And I think she said she just wanted to research into it a little bit more. And I suspect she's doing what she can to help you guys keep your chickens, because she seemed to me to be that kind of a person from just observing her during that day. So
let's hope you're right.
Yeah, well, I hope I'm right too.
So right now, go ahead, Margie.
Oh, I just, you know, our lawyer did a very good job of arguing the fact that these are pets, and that they're not only does the county code say that fowl can be pet, but that if they are pets, the setbacks don't apply. And he researched the state law. And and this is one other thing he presented. I when I filled out the Maryland poultry registration form for the Department of Agriculture, right on their form it has a space where you can mark the purpose of the flock, and it lists all these different, you know, reasons or that you would have a flock, and one of them was hobby pet, and that's what I had checked. And so there it is, right on their form. They're recognizing that chickens can be pets. So, you know, I really don't think that there's anything that, you know, they just don't have anything to get us on. There's just, you know,
it's just blind poultry prejudice, it seems like to me. Now, tell me about the councilwoman. You said there are pending elections coming up now for city council, right, in Kensington?
Town council, and yeah.
Town
last
council.
I attended our town meeting, and they had the panel up there, and we could ask questions, and I didn't get there early enough to put my questions in. But afterwards, one of the council women, the women who are running for council, came up, and she said, "Oh, hi, you know, do you remember me?" And I said, "Yeah, Scott sent you an email." And she said, "Yeah, and I would like to talk to you, you know, but just as long as it doesn't have anything to do with poultry." So this is a response that we're getting from a lot of the council members. You know, they're fine with talking to us, but they don't want to talk about poultry. And
now, see, right there we've got a civil liberties case. That is, if they're there to represent people's interests,
they're
not there to express their own opinions. So now it's a whole different ballgame if they don't want to talk about issues that their constituents are interested in,
I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whisper, you were going to say something.
I was going to say that it sounds like it's kind of, right now anyway, out of their hands. Apparently, is this my understanding, Margie, is that the judge, you're hoping the judge will come back and rule that you are – abiding by and breaking no laws by their own laws. So it's not right. We're not looking at a council vote at this time, whether she's legal
right.
or not. It's gone past that. The judge is going to come back and say yay or nay, basically, for or against you keeping your chickens. And so it sounds like that from everything you've shared with us, it's almost going to be difficult for them not to. And so the thing, obviously, to look out for, as they've done here in the city of Roswell, is once the judge says, yes, you're abiding by all the current laws, rules, regulations, and ordinance of this town, so you win and the city loses, then, of course, the city at their next meeting and whatnot, they start drafting a new ordinance about keeping backyard poultry, which apparently may or may not grandfather you in. So, you know, it can go on even further than that. Even if the judge comes back and says, yay, no problem, here they go, and they just for spite now, whether they have anything against chickens or not, will may try to draft a new ordinance and get it passed at one of the city council meetings that ban poultry or make it so incredibly strict that nobody can have poultry and still say, oh, you can have poultry, you just have to abide by these certain guidelines we put there and put forth in front of you. So we allow poultry, you just have to abide by this, when really they're writing a law that really doesn't allow poultry based on the way they write it. You know,
exactly.
We're not fools. It's obvious how they do that and why they do that. So
right.
That may be the next step you want to look for if the judge comes back and says, yep, she's everything's fine. These are her pets, she's so you know, sucks for you, town.
Uh-huh.
Then they'll, you know, just look for that as maybe the town's next step, like we saw here in Roswell. So very, very interesting, and it's still not over here in the town of Roswell, apparently. So, but we're about out of time. So I know Pat, you're on the road and can't see the clock, but Margie and Tyler, I appreciate you coming back on. Please keep us posted if there's anything we can do. I was going to say, someone was in the chat room saying, you know, let us know, you know, what we can do. And of course, absolutely we will. But even right now, sending emails to the mayor and the council, it's out of their hands as well. That won't do anything because they're not making the decision. It's the judge, and we'll see what the judge comes back with. When's the next date? When's the next court date?
They didn't give us one. She said she was going to mail us her decision. Isn't that right, Pat? Isn't that what you heard?
Yeah, well, yeah. She just kind of got up and left, and we were all, what do we do? Do we stay? Do we leave? And then the clerk of courts there said, or whoever it was, said, well, she needs time to research it, and she'll bring back. I don't know how she can do anything but rule that these are pets. I mean, anything else would not be following literally the letter of the law. But,
that's right.
Right. Well, Margie, thank you very much for coming on, Tyler, as well. And please keep us posted, and Pat and myself, and via Facebook, email, and all that great stuff. If they do give you a ruling via the mail, definitely let us know. We'll post it and have you back on and get your opinion and your feelings on whatever the outcome might be. So good luck with your continued fight with them, and we hope and wish all you the best.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Margie. Thanks, Tyler.
All righty, Pat. Well, that's going to basically wrap it up for this episode of Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We thank you very much for tuning in today. If you're a first-time listener, we hope you enjoyed what you heard, and we'll tune back again another day. We do broadcast live Monday through Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to every single archive show we've ever done on iTunes, at podcast.com, at Zune, and, of course, Blog Talk Radio. And I don't want you to forget that tomorrow, wonderful special guest tomorrow, Shauna Coronado, author of Gardening Nude, is going to be here. And we're not going to be talking about gardening nude, though if you are, you have to look out for thorns and poison oak. But tomorrow we're talking about edible landscapes and how you can utilize that with feeding the hungry. So I'm definitely looking forward to tomorrow's episode. I know you are too. And then, of course, Thursday, Richard Krudenberger, and another fun Friday coming up. Where has this week and month gone? Pat, we hope you drive safely on the way to the pharmacy today, and we'll see you tomorrow. If the cell towers, the cell tower gods cooperate, then I know you'll be with us tomorrow as well. So thank you for tuning in.
Absolutely.
And Pat, you can take it away.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And Margie and Tyler and Scott Stansel, you guys are real troopers. Thanks for hanging in there for the right to keep your chickens, and certainly they are pets. So God bless you. And Angie's right. Anything we can do to help you, we're there. We're there for you and your birds. And so in closing, thanks again for all our sponsors for their support. We couldn't be doing this without you. Andy Schneider, thanks for bringing us all together and for doing all that you do for the chicken movement. And, of course, thanks to the chat room Chickeneers. I missed you today, but I'll be there on Thursday. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for providing the radio chat and video services. And, of course, forever and for always, blessings to you all, and may the flock be with you. God bless.
And, of course, one more message to the mayor.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
Bam!